You know that Kansas City is home to the best fans, the best teams, the best barbecue. Nobody loves Kansas City more than the people who call it home, which is why you need a sports radio station to call home. A new home for Kansas City Chiefs football.
Mahomes looks to throw it. Pump faking right side. He wants it. A comeback cut. It is caught by Kelsey. Touchdown, Kansas City. One of the greatest duos in the history of the National Football League. Patrick Mahomes to Travis Kelsey.
A new home for Royals baseball.
Payoff pitch. Swing and a shot down the left field line. Salvador Perez.
A new home for K-State Athletics.
There's the snap to Johnson. Avery, three-step drop. Here comes some pressure. He slides to his right. Now he'll take off. Fakes to throw. Runs to the 10, to the 5, to the goal line, to the touchdown mark. Touchdown, Wildcats.
And a new home for MIZ.
First and 10 from the 26. Pumps, now throws it left side. Caught by Burton, trying to get outside to the 30, to the 25. Sheds tackle 20, to the 10, to the pylon, to the house.
Welcome to your home for Kansas City sports. Welcome to 96.5, The Fan.
And welcome there, JT. JT Noah producing the operation. I'm Jay Pinkley. Welcome to the FM side, JT. Welcome to 96.5, The Fan, Kansas City's first all sports FM radio station. It's fun.
Yeah, it's I tweeted out on Twitter. I said, I'm in my FM era now. We went from AM to FM. It's like, wow. And the sound quality is insane.
Yeah, I haven't checked it out yet. I haven't logged on Twitter yet. But yeah, it's great when you're driving around. You got it, the preset there, 96.5, The Fan. You don't have to change it for the Chiefs. You don't have the Chiefs this week. You can carry the Royals, Kansas State, Missouri, you name it. Still on 610. It's The Fan, 610 a.m. If that's what you prefer, the old school or the new school. The phone number has changed. It is 913-586-7965. That's 913-586-7965. Last day of camp, JT. I know you were here with me throughout the Chiefs season last year. The ups and downs, the trials and tribulations of the Kansas City Chiefs 2023 season. I can't remember. Were you here for the Christmas Day game? I can't remember if you were here.
I was.
Okay, so you were here.
Oh, I was here for the ugly, the good, the bad.
And it was ugly.
Yeah, it was ugly. Well, would you say it was uglier than opening night?
Yes, I would. Because you can look back at that game and think, okay, opening night, all the excitement, the fan base there, they're celebrating the Super Bowl, a little bit different than the first time they won it because COVID interfered with a lot of people being at the stadium, so this is a great time. But Kelsey didn't play. Chris Jones didn't play. Yeah, it's two of your big three. Didn't play in that game. Kadarius Toney, a couple drops right in the hands, including one to Brian Branch, the safety for the Lions, and went back for a pick six. So the Raiders game was just more disappointing, I think, when you think back to that Raiders game. Because they could have gone – it was a pivotal game, like you and I talked about a lot in the post-game, JT. It was a pivotal game because there's a – it's like you're at the crossroads. And you can either go to dynasty or downfall. Because sometimes, you know, after a game like the Raiders game, players are questioning themselves. Why can't we beat these guys? We should have beat these guys. We're a better team than these guys. They completed one pass after the first quarter. And which direction they go? And they have the Bengals coming in, backup quarterback. Joe Burrow's not playing. What are you going to do next week? You're going to be able to turn this thing around. And a lot of Chiefs coaches and stuff will call that one of the pivotal games of the year, the Bengals game the following week. But you think about it. You know, a lot of teams would fall in that situation. A lot of teams would sink after that Raiders game and be crept with self-doubt. It would be filling their minds. But no, they chose dynasty more than downfall. And then when they get to the postseason, look at the teams they played. It was ridiculous. You can make the argument it's the toughest path to the playoff through the playoffs we've ever seen.
Yeah, and it all started with what we called the frozen tundra at the time, where you had Miami, and they shut down Miami. And everyone saw them winning that game. And then Buffalo came, and we went to Buffalo. And people were, like, actually giving the Chiefs some credit for maybe winning that game because of the injuries on Buffalo. But then everyone didn't see what happened to Baltimore coming. And I think it all started with the pregame activities, with the kicker, Justin Tucker, messing around with Kelsey and Mahomes, giving them more ammunition. And it just worked out where the Chiefs played well, and the guy who hadn't caught a ball all season caught the third down play to seal the deal, MVS.
And we'll check in on MVS's status later on the show when we head out to Buffalo. But yeah, so you think about where you could have been, where this team could have been. They chose going dynasty route, and that was fun. The whole playoffs, you think about who they beat. They beat the number 2, number 3, number 4, number 6 scoring offenses. That's pretty good. When your defense is facing the number 2, the number 3, the number 4, and the number 6 scoring offense in the NFL, oh, but this offense struggled all year, right? This offense. Well, how about this? Patrick Mahomes led them when they beat the number 1, the number 3, and the number 4 scoring defenses. Baltimore 1, Frisco was 3, Buffalo was 4. The only reason they didn't play 2, because they see 2 every day at practice. It was the Kansas City Chiefs. Arguably, that's the toughest path ever. None of these games were at Arrowhead Stadium. You know, because of a couple of losses they had. Two more losses or two more wins, they would have gotten the home game as well over Baltimore. Baltimore would have had to come here. But they didn't, so Kansas City proved they could win on the road. I got tired of that narrative. That's actually one of the narratives, probably the most hated narrative I have last year over the Chiefs. Let's see Mahomes do it on the road. Like, I got totally sick of hearing that.
Yeah, you would hate the callers after a game like, oh, Mahomes is going to have to prove it on the road. And you're guys, really? He's going to prove it on the road. And another thing to piggy off of toughest road, if I do remember, a week ago, we found out that Mahomes was number 4 in the top 100 players, and the 3 in front of him he had to beat in the playoffs to get to the Super Bowl.
And one, the number 1 guy, and Tyreek Hill, he beat twice. And Tyreek Hill is the one that coughed up the game for a player he was traded for, and Trent McDuffie, that caused that fumble in Munich, Germany. And then he got his butt thrown to the ground by L'Jarius Sneed at Arrowhead Stadium. Mahomes, by the way, it's kind of poetic justice how it worked out that they had to go on the road to Buffalo. Buffalo thought it was their big chance. They finally get the Chiefs coming to Orchard Park, time to show what Josh Allen can do. And he didn't do it. Then the Chiefs had to go to Baltimore after that, couldn't do it. They showed toughness in that opening game against Miami. But I was tired of the Mahomes road comp. Put it this way, JT. At home, Mahomes is 47-36. He's played 47 games. He's 36-11. On the road, he's played 49 games, but he has 2 more wins. He's 38-11. So he's just as good on the road. Now, how about passing? How about completion percentage? 64.88 at home, 68.01 on the road. 4% better completion percentage on the road. Passing yards, 13,391 at home, 15,033 on the road. Significantly more on the road in just those 2 games. As far as touchdowns, he's got 19 more on the road during the regular season than at home. 119 on the road, 100 at home. You think he was going to be affected playing on the road? This team doesn't get affected. The mental toughness of this team is too much as they get ready to, they leave training camp today. St. Joe's now in the past. Now it's time for this team. And I know they had to go back to St. Joe after the Jacksonville game, and nobody likes going back to training camp, I'm sure, after the first preseason game, because they even said it. But it's focus. It's go time for this team. This team just run like a professional organization, man. I mean, top to bottom, they're ready for that three-peat.
Oh, for sure. And it's crazy to think about it like this, but they got better at, I believe, multiple positions, or at least more depth at multiple positions going into this year than they did last year. Wide receiver for 1. And number 2, I think, is also running back. With Carson Steele showing up what he did in game 1 of the preseason, they have more depth on 2 of the positions where we felt like they were the least comfortable in last year. Also, you have still a huge depth at your secondary, even though you lost L'Jarius Sneed. Trent McDuffie steps up. I think it's just an elevation or evaluation of where Andy Reid is, and he knows where he can take this team because he has the quarterback and he has Travis Kelce still on this team, where they can go and pick up more pieces around those players on offense and defense to make this a real dynasty happen.
You know, I was listening to Mitch Holthus that was on with Carrington there in the fourth hour. It was around 5 o'clock or so when Mitch was joining Carrington and said he thought this roster was better than last year's. I'm with you on that, JT. I mean, the running back room, I want to see Carson Steele. You always want to see somebody back it up. Yeah, I've seen a lot of guys have great preseason games. And I liked Carson Steele. I loved him when he was at UCLA. I loved the undrafted free agent pickup for the Chiefs. This guy led the MAC in rushing 2 years ago. And he had a really productive year last year with UCLA. He can catch the ball in the backfield. He blocks. And he's not just a fullback. I know he's playing fullback right now, but he's more than just that, as Andy Reid said. You know, they've been practicing the fullback dive and stuff like that up at St. Joe. We're going to see that. Third and one and fourth and one has been tough on the Chiefs. That has been a tough thing. So would Carson Steele be it? But he's better than just a one-yard back. I mean, he's better than what a fullback gives you. He had 1,500 yards rushing 2 years ago. I mean, this guy can't carry the – no other true fullback has that many rushing yards in college like Carson Steele did. And Clyde's been sick, and we know the PTSD that he had before. So you're going to see a lot of Pacheco, and these running backs should be good. Because if these wide receivers spread the field out like we think they're going to, no more safeties creeping up in the box. No more safeties coming up. Because last year the Chiefs were one of the league leaders in throwing the ball, you know, less than 10 yards. They didn't air it out a lot. They had to play ball control. They said to find a way to win, and that's what they did. This year, I've always thought being a running back for the Chiefs is like one of the best places in the league to be a running back. Because all the focus is on your quarterback. They're worried about him. They're worried about Mahomes tearing them apart. And they worry about it all week. They worry about it at night. They study the film all week. You can't do it because, as Wink Martindale once said when he was a Baltimore Ravens defensive coordinator, it's the call they play and the call they run. And turning every game into a backyard football game. But that's what makes them so unpredictable. That's what makes them so much fun. But yes, Hollywood Brown, which they're going to be missing him now, probably up until the second week of the season. That's obviously in. He's had one fully healthy season. He's missed 8 games the last 2 years. So, okay. You deal with this, all he's going to miss. That's what you hope. Xavier Worthy's an upgrade, man. I like what, and I know you're looking at a lot of rookies. A lot of rookies are having, you know, good training camps. A.D. Mitchell, a guy that I really like, is tearing it up for the Colts. Xavier Worthy's tearing it up for the Chiefs. And I know he got slammed to the ground one time. People were making a big deal of it. The number one player in the NFL got slammed to the ground in front of a national audience last year in Tyreek Hill. It happens. They're going to move him in the slot, put him in motion, get him where he gets some empty looks, get him where he can get off the line of scrimmage in space, and they're going to throw the ball down the field more. I love the addition of Jared Wiley. I think the tight end room's gotten better because I think when you think of Kelsey, Noah Gray continues to get better each and every year. And then you had Jared Wiley. Nothing against Blake Bell. He was a fine blocker, but Jared Wiley is an upgrade at tight end three. And yes, they run 13 personnel a lot, 3 tight ends. Matter of fact, that's why Kelsey was mad on the sidelines during the Super Bowl, because they had him out of the game and they had Gray and Bell in the game because it was one of those packages where he was, you know, off the field at the time. But yes, it is a better offensive line. I think Kingsley and Andy Reid says you're not going to see Juwan this week or Wanya Morris against the Lions. He said the starters are going to play the whole half. Not buying it.
Yeah, no way.
Maybe into the second quarter. I don't know. I mean, if they're very productive and they're moving the football, maybe just one quarter. But Carson Wentz, the offensive line typically does play a whole half. So the skill positions, the offensive line, Mahomes, Kelsey, and those guys won't. But they'll get Carson Wentz a look, and he'll be with, you know, and see what he's got. Instead of running for his life, playing with a third string line, see what he's got. And I'd like to see what Carson Steele can do behind this offensive line, behind a real tangible offensive line. I think we're going to see a lot of that this week. But, yes, I really like what Kingsley's shown. Love his attitude. Love how he can move out in space. Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith just keep getting better and better every year. Tooney's going to be fine. They were bringing him back slowly from the pack and stuff, but you got a first-team All-Pro there. I just really like the makeup of this team and this defense. What can you say about it? They've already turned that corner. They got the swagger at this point.
Yeah, I mean, the defense is, I believe, that's what makes this team so more dynamic than in years past. Except last year, obviously, where I think you take the defense and you now have Nick Bolton and Drew Tranquil, who's now really familiar with Spag's defense. If you think about it, Drew was kind of thrown into the fire because Nick got injured and he took over the green dot. Well, now Drew's got a whole year under his belt with Spag's defense, and those two are going to be working side by side, and I think it's just going to be a match made in heaven with those two linebackers. You also have the secondary with Justin Reed. Hopefully he's healthy for week one. And I told you multiple times, I think the secondary is just absolutely dogs. You got McDuffie, you got Watson. It's just going to be great out there. You got the rookie who I think is going to be.
You're going to be able to play McDuffie in the slot a lot. I mean, that's where he feels comfortable. So we did a lot of last year.
Right.
Move him around. They're versatile. Yes, I'm with you 100% on this. And Jaden Hicks.
That's what I was thinking. Jaden Hicks, yeah.
Brings that thumping mindset to the secondary.
Right. And you're getting back Cook, who was injured last year, and he was really making progress before he got injured.
And he's an elite at this point, experienced. That's the thing about this team. They're up and down, they're leaders. I mean, most of these guys, you know, have two rings. A handful of them have the three rings.
Yeah.
At least a lot of them have multiple back-to-back. And sometimes it's all they've seen. Like, Karloftis, that's all he's seen is the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, I mean, McDuffie.
And that's huge. And you can't say that.
Right, and I think... we'll probably hit this later on, but I think Felix is going to have a really good sophomore year. He's going to get way more playing time this year, A, because he's healthy, and B, because Aminihu is going to be hurt for the first half of the season. I think he's going to take advantage of that. They say he looks stronger and better than he did last year going into training camp, and I'm excited to see what he has in this second preseason game for sure.
No question about it. Coming up next, though, Kyle Long. Remember him? He was injured all year but was with the Chiefs. He's a guy that can really talk about this team because he saw the kind of the inner workings. And I've never heard anybody break this team down like he did. He was on Pat McAfee, and this was unbelievable what he said about Andy Reid next. Welcome back, Jay Binkley, JT Noah, producing the operation. Might rain tonight, they said.
Tonight rain, as in like before the show's over?
No, I'd probably late night.
Okay, good, because I'm like, my windows are down.
Did it rain last night at your place?
Oh, it did. It did rain.
Because I know you're south of me.
Yeah, it rained pretty good. Which we needed the rain, so I was okay with it.
We need the rain. I live up north in the Northland, and it rained like hell about 12:30, whatever. I had to bring the flag in. I mean, it was like 70 mile an hour winds. I mean, I got this little alert. You know how that little alert gets on your cell phone?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Annoying as hell, but I got it, and it said wind gust 70 to 80 miles an hour. And I was like, yeah, let me go batten down the hatches.
Yeah. Let me bring in the flag before it flies away.
But you know what? Instead of playing thunderstorm sounds on your Alexa, you know, you just turn it off and just listen to the natural sounds of thunder. And lightning was real close too, man. It was like hair-raising close.
I don't know. I didn't get out to see the lightning. I knew it rained, but I don't know how bad it was. I usually just sleep through it, but I got outside and I knew the ground was wet, so I knew it rained.
Royals off tonight. Michael Lorenzen tomorrow in Cincinnati. 5-6, 3.79, 83 strikeouts on the year. Michael Wacha pitches on Saturday, and 9-6, 3.50, 99 strikeouts. Then Brody Singer on Sunday, and he's 8-8 with 3.32 ERA this year, 130 strikeouts. So he goes Sunday for the Royals. Of note, JT, and I've admitted to be a scoreboard watcher. I don't just watch what the Royals do. I watch what other teams do that matter. And right now, I only think there's a handful of teams that matter for the wild card. And the Red Sox are one of those teams. And the Mariners, one of those teams. And Mariners have great arms. You know, they bring in Arianza, and they bring in Justin Hunter. Rosarena. See, they bring in Rosarena and Justin Hunter, I believe. But their arms are second-best rotation in the league. But the Red Sox and Orioles scoreless into the third. The Red Sox are in Baltimore for this game. The Twins and Rangers later tonight. The Twins are at the Rangers in this game, and a game of note that's positive for the Royals. The Mariners lose again to the Detroit Tigers 2-1.
You know,
they were hammered the other night, 15-1 by this team.
I was about to say, Detroit's got the Mariners number, it sounds like, this season, just like how it's funny how the White Sox have a 500 record against the Guardians this season. So
yeah, there's some things that are unexplainable, but when you look at the wild card right now, Baltimore's in that wild card just a half game back from the Yankees in that. Minnesota's one and a half games behind them, and the Royals 1.5 behind the Minnesota Twins. So go Rangers tonight. This will close that gap, at least a half game more there. The Red Sox sit 2 back of the Kansas City Royals. The Mariners now, due to that loss, 3.5 back from that third wild card position. So if the Royals win the division or don't win the division, I still think the wild card comes down to Minnesota, Kansas City, Boston, and Seattle. But I would take the Rays out of it. I don't think the Rays get there. They're 2 games under 500, but they're right behind the Seattle Mariners. They're 6.5 back. But honestly, Boston and Seattle, and I'd put Boston ahead of Seattle in that situation. So it's about watching the Red Sox continually lose. It's about watching that team lose, which, by the way, they're sub-500 at home and better than 500 on the road, which is really, really weird. And they're playing at home tonight. So let's hope that Boston takes the L there. They're 29-32 at home and 34-24 on the road. So, yes, JT, I do scoreboard watch. It's fun. It's fun.
Yeah, that's the whole point right now with the Royals is you get to scoreboard watch because the team is competitive and good right now. And guess what? They still hold a position for the third wild card spot, even after, I would say, a terrible 14-day stretch.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, they've built themselves up, and who cares if you played the White Sox? They built themselves up to 11 games over 500. They sit six back at Cleveland right now. Still two series to go for the Royals over the Cleveland Guardians. And because that one, August 26th, is going to be huge. They play them twice because they're filling up that filling out that doubleheader that got canceled earlier this season. They have to come back here. So six games behind them. But then the wild card again. I don't really trust Seattle to do it. And again, is Seattle going to catch Houston? I don't think so. I think Houston, that's been in seven straight American League Championship Series, they're going to win that division. They're two games. They're three games ahead of Seattle now, excuse me. But I look at Boston being that one team because if not them, then who? I mean, the Rays? Well, where else are we going for the third wild card? Because it's a bunch of crap once you get past Boston and Seattle. So a lot of times when you look at the Rose going to make the postseason or not, and say, why the hell not? Because, I mean, if they're a wild card team, look who's behind them.
The only other team I watch that's not in the wild card right now is Houston. Because Houston and Seattle are so close in their division.
They're close, but I still think Houston wins that because of experience. I still think they pull it off.
And it'd be a crazy pull away by Houston because of the way they started the season. I mean, they were so below 500. I think it was at 1.14 games.
And they're three over right now.
Exactly. They've hit their stride, and Seattle's had injuries, and I get they have a good starting rotation, but their bullpen's been bad. Their offense has been real atrocious. That's why they had to go make some trades. I'm like you. I watch the Twins. I watch the Guardians occasionally on the scoreboard. But obviously Boston and Seattle have been the mainstream because those two are right behind us. And every time we lose, you're like, can Boston lose? And luckily yesterday, we won, Boston lost.
Which they have not been a good home team. And they're playing at home tonight. So this team has not been that good. The Royals, they've got Cincinnati, again, winnable games. The Angels, but again, sometimes you look at the winnable games, they don't win them. They beat some of the tough teams. Philadelphia comes here for three. That's good that this is going to be at home because the Royals are a very good home team. Then four at Cleveland, four at Houston. That's a really big stretch. Four at Cleveland, four at Houston. That's huge because then you have Houston back in Kansas City for three. You have Cleveland back in Kansas City for three. And then the Twins in Kansas City for three before they head out to New York for the Yankees. So this stretch right there. When they get done with Philadelphia and all this, four against Cleveland, at Cleveland, three against at Houston, then Cleveland comes back here, Minnesota comes here. That's going to be an incredible stretch to watch.
Yeah, Vern keeps calling it the Riptide.
It is the Riptide. I've heard Vern say that. He's right.
And for us scoreboard watching, Boston just took a 1-0 lead on a home run by Abreu. So there's that.
Crap.
Yeah, that's the Riptide when it starts, and it starts next weekend against Philadelphia. And I get it, we're at home, but they've got to find a way to just calm that storm. I mean, you go 500, you're going to be all right, but you can't go too far underneath with those teams coming across, especially when it's against Cleveland and Minnesota.
Yeah, great stuff there. But I mentioned Kyle Long before I started talking a little bit of Royals there. They're off tonight, by the way, where you would hear him. Vern's ready to go, man. This is a big series this weekend with Cincinnati. It's a chance just to go out there and blow the doors off the Reds on the road. But Kyle Long, and I listened to this very closely because it was about Andy Reid and how he motivates his team. And, you know, they talked about just the veteran presence and a little bit of Mahomes and Kelce and you name it. But I thought Kyle Long was very good, very, very good when he was sitting down with Pat McAfee discussing the Chiefs.
Yeah, Kyle, team we know that's going to be in at the end, Kansas City. You were there in 2021. Why are they such a machine? You know, how does Andy Reid kind of operate on a day-to-day basis when you were there at least? And do you believe we are now in the Patriots-esque era of KC and that this is going to be the reality of the NFL for the next 15 years until Mahomes is done?
I'll start with Andy Reid. All great head coaches have the ability to touch every single guy on that roster with, you know, whether it's conversation or, you know, a little pick me up here or a little kick in the ass there. Andy Reid is as good as anybody I've seen at doing that. And the cast of misfit toys that he loves to work with is so entertaining to be around every day. And Andy's such a big part of that. And obviously the offensive genius, but his commitment to being a real part of the offensive line teaching and coaching and install. The screens are Andy Reid's baby. You know, like everybody else goes and sits down when it's time to do screen install because that's Andy. And you can see the attention to detail in particular in that department of the offense. And I loved it as an offensive lineman. He just eats, sleeps, breathes football. But as for the Chiefs, a few years ago, they got rid of a guy named Tyreek Hill, who's pretty good at football.
Yeah.
And I was
number one guy in the league. Number one guy in the league.
I was on my brother's podcast, the Greenlight Pod. Also, shout out to C Long. We all love Chris.
And, shout out, Chris.
We were talking about the Chiefs, and you know, they took the driver out of Patrick Mahomes' bag when they took Tyreek Hill off the roster. And people fail to realize he hits the three wood 320 yards, and he could put it right down the middle, too. So even without Tyreek, we saw the explosive stuff change a lot for that offense. But now they go and get some more burners, and we could be looking at, you know, the Tyreek-esque offense 2.0. They got scarier this season. And, I mean, it remains to be seen who will step up to the plate in the big moments. But I know Patrick will. We all know Patrick will. These new characters on the Chiefs are going to be fun to watch.
Xavier Worthy, obviously, in training camp is just always open, right? Because they have so many people now. If you bring Hollywood, you got Rashee Rice, if we can get to the season. And then you got Travis Kelce, obviously, commanding the middle of the field or wherever the hell he wants to be. Like, that is literally what he does. So it's unstoppable, seemingly. Why doesn't everybody just do that, Kyle? Why doesn't everybody just do that?
They've got the algorithm. You know, some of these guys in finance, they've got the computer that just works for them, the algorithm. That's like Andy Reid's brain. And, you know, I think Brett Veach is tied in and tapped into that brain. He put his USB dongle in there, you know, and he was like a little FBI hack into Andy's brain. He finds a way to couple Andy's schematics and offensive mind with his ability to get these players in the building. And, you know, what we're seeing is the most fun thing in football.
That was awesome stuff from Kyle Long. I'll break down kind of what he said there and what it means to the team, because I think he hit it spot on. I mean, he was around them all the time anyway. I know he's hurt, but he was still around them all the time back in 2021. By the way, 3 weeks from the night, Thursday Night Football, opening week versus the Ravens. 3 weeks. This is it. Three freaking weeks. Camp's over. It's go time. We'll discuss what Kyle Long said after the break. And welcome back to 96.5 The Fan. Jay Binkley, JT Noah there. Kyle Long was great, man. I liked hearing that. Just talking about how Andy Reid will motivate different people. Because in life, I mean, if you're driving around and you have to manage, you know, people here and there, you know that some people, they need the kick in the ass. And then some people won't respond to that. Some will respond to it, and that's the only way to reach them. And some you've got to just motivate by, hey, say nice things to or whatever. But the end result is production, right? Because you don't want the resentment. You just want to find a way to motivate everybody. But he knows exactly how everybody works. He knows what they do. He watches college films. You know what they did in college. He knows what to run to make them successful, what made them successful. And he does it. And I do think that he and Brett Veach think a lot alike. And does Brett Veach single-handedly pick every player without Andy Reid? Because Andy Reid, when he came here in 2013, gave up the personnel he had in Philadelphia. But they do bring a handful of guys to him, say, watch these guys, who do you like best? So he is instrumental. And as far as picking Mahomes or not, I mean, we can talk about Dorsey, Veach, whatever you want. Andy Reid picked Patrick Mahomes. There's no question in my mind, he being the quarterback whisperer himself, he was the one that was going to be the guy for Patrick Mahomes. But this team is all about business, man. I mean, they are 100% about business and getting the best out of these players. And just hearing that story, you know, of Kelce, you know, running routes after practice, Mahomes, you know, out there pointing to stuff, saying, well, if a future Hall of Famer is doing this, you can do this too. That's what they have. You walk in that room, it's a room full of professionals. Like, you got to check your ego at the door. I think that's the problem. I think sometimes people, they found out the hard way. You know, they blanked around and found out. Because you walk in that room, you know, full of, well, there's Hall of Famers in that room. Mahomes for sure. Kelce for sure. Maybe Chris Jones. Andy Reid for sure. Canton's going to be littered with Chiefs.
Oh, yeah. And sometimes you got to take a step and think about where you are and how it's going for you. And some people want to pick the money and their ego over winning championships, and that's totally fine. And you can be Tyreek Hill sitting in Miami every February watching the Super Bowl of your former team winning it. That's totally fine.
You're making them comments to Kay Adams like you did the other day saying,
yeah,
he's number one, he's better than Mahomes.
Exactly. So you can do all that, but we know how you act, and we want people that are going to be a team guy. Travis Kelce, team guy. I get it. Patrick Mahomes, team guy. Chris Jones, I get he held out last year. I totally get it. He is still, to me, a team guy. He helps this team out, even off the field, on the field. I get it. He had that stubbornness, but he even knew his ego was getting a little too big last year. And so he took a step back, and he did what he needed to do to get on the field.
Like, it didn't matter who you bring in here. You could bring anybody in the NFL in, and guess what? They haven't won as many rings as Mahomes, right? Nobody has. Around the whole NFL. He's been to 6 straight AFC title games. You know, you walk in, and this guy, you know, sitting there and eating pizza at their pizza party they have with everybody else, and all of a sudden you're sitting there going, okay, what are we going to do now? What are you going to say? You got to check that ego in at the door. And when you're drafted with this team, it's not training wheels, it's go time. And you hear that, you know, like overloading Xavier Worthy. You know, we heard a little bit of that, you know, really working at the Xavier Worthy. And, you know, people even talking about him possibly even having more pressure on him than last year than Rashee Rice. And I thought Rashee Rice had more pressure on him than Sky Moore the year before. This was Matt Nagy yesterday or 2 days ago, the offensive coordinator.
Probably the biggest thing, Adam, is him understanding that everything's not going to be perfect, but how do you respond to, for example, today, a couple misconnections between him and Pat, downfield throws that they didn't hit, but you put that on tape, and now they can take that and talk through why it happened. And so he's been good with that. Didn't get a whole lot of reps in the first preseason game, but for him, probably the biggest thing is like making sure that he understands that it's not going to be perfect, but we're trying to get to that point to where you guys really start clicking and understanding the whys behind maybe why you didn't get that throw or why there wasn't a catch. But he's had a phenomenal attitude.
Yeah, you have to have the attitude. You bring it back. Xavier Worthy, they're saying all the right things about him, just like Connor Embry, his wide receiver coach yesterday.
He'll probably do a little more than Rashid did, but still probably not try to overload him and let him get his feet wet and build it up.
Don't try to overload him. Dave Tobe talked about the fact that, you know, they might scale back to returning the kicks. He doesn't practice. They know he does it because he's going to be in the offense a lot. With Hollywood Brown out, I mean, it's going to be Xavier. It's going to be Justin Watson in there because Watson's everywhere. And he can play in the inside, the outside. He can do every different things receivers do. And they're going to rely on him to do it. Then they've got to come down here and somehow, I think they're going to get to 7 receivers. 7 last year is the most receivers Andy Reid's ever kept. He's kept 6 a lot. There has been 1 year where he kept 5, but he mainly keeps 6. Did go 7 last year. I think he goes 7 again this year. I did have 4 tight ends early on with Irv Smith. I've scaled that back just to 3 now. Maybe he could come back. And you could put veterans on the practice squad now at this point. But I think it's 3 because I think they're going to keep Carson Steele. Well, obviously they're going to keep Carson Steele, I do believe, with fullback. So that'll be 4 running backs I think they have. So something had to give, and that's tight end from 4 to 3. But I think 7 receivers, and I think it's a battle at the end of it with Kadarius Toney, Justin Ross, Sky Moore, you name it. But Sky Moore, I do believe, is on this team. And I do believe Justin Ross probably shown enough to be on this team, too. Kadarius Toney's the one needs to be worried.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they go about that. I do believe it's going to probably come, if I had to believe it, it's going to come down to Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney, who's going to be cut. And in that case, I think you keep Sky Moore. But I think there's some
trust him more.
But there's something about it that I think Andy Reid just has something about Kadarius Toney that he just thinks there's so much potential there that he keeps him around. I think they keep Sky, but I wouldn't be surprised if they kept Toney over Sky Moore.
Yeah, they could. I think they keep Sky Moore. I mean, he is a guy that showed him a little bit of something in training camp. He caught the ball well. Did have a few drops here and there, but his hands were good on there. But Toney, they like him, and I understand him trying to find a role for him and work the minute tailback and stuff like that. So some packages they were doing. I always worried about that, though, because running backs take hits, and he has not shown that ability to take hits. But you got to be on the club. Now, would I be shocked if he ends up on injured reserve? They have to pay him $2.5 million anyway, whether he's gone or stays here. So I can see them hiding him there. Maybe. Because I think Worthy, Hollywood, Justin, Mecole Hardman, Justin Ross, and then it would be Sky Moore.
Do you think...
I did have Nico Remigio, but I don't know anymore.
I was going to ask, do you think they keep Kadarius Toney just for returns? Or do you think they go somewhere else direction-wise?
If they could trust him, he has been back at practice now, but he did miss time with that ankle. Then all of a sudden it was the back after that. It was two injuries. You got to be on the field, though. Like, sometimes you'll take less talent if you can trust somebody to be out there and know the system. Regardless, Andy Reid wrapped up camp today. Been here since 2013, bringing the best of what he said today in his final press conference in St. Joe next. And welcome back, Jay Binkley, JT Noah. 3 weeks from the night for the Chiefs' opening game. I can't wait. I 100% can't wait. Check in with Buffalo in a little bit as we check in the AFC West. Some of the teams to watch for, legitimate contenders or not, we'll find out. Mark Ross, former executive with the Giants, world champion with the NFL Network, joins us live at 8 o'clock tonight as you're listening, 96.5, The Fan. Andy Reid gave his farewells today to St. Joe as Military Appreciation Day, but they wrapped up training camp. Now it is go time once they get back here to Kansas City.
It was great to have the military out here. So important to allow all of us, players, coaches, you guys right here, to do what we do. I had a chance, I told them I had a chance to go to Afghanistan a few years back and kind of see the guys in action, and what a confidence builder that was, just to know how dedicated they are and obviously giving us that chance to do all of this, so over here and protect us. And then the people of St. Joe here at the Missouri Western State University, we appreciate all their hospitality. What a great job they did in taking care of us, whether it was the people that were making our beds, to the people that were cooking the food, to the grounds crew that was taking care of the area here, and everybody was just first class and on the ball. We appreciate that. It makes it a lot easier when we're all pulling in the same direction. So it was a great thing. Anyways, with that, time's yours.
Did you let Joe Tooney, you're trying to get him some stats?
Yeah, I'm going to just kind of see on that. I'm not going to force it. See how he feels after today, and but we'll let you know on that.
What about Jalen Watson? Do you anticipate getting him in the game?
I don't think Jalen will play. Yeah.
Would you like to see Carson get a series at least with the starters in the first?
Yeah, there's a chance. There's a chance we'll get him in there and just see how that goes. I'm gonna just play it by ear, but he'll be ready to do that. Yeah.
How low do you like Xavier to be? Obviously, you had a play design for him last time. Would you like to kind of get him jump started? And would you?
Yeah, we're not going to force that, but I just want him to play. And you play in this thing, somewhere it'll come to you. But we're not forcing anything in there, no.
Door open to maybe him returning a punt? Or?
There's a chance. Small chance.
Staying in the dorms.
Juwan Taylor's injury being kind of long-term?
No. He won't go this weekend, but I think he's going to be okay.
Staying in the dorms, getting away from KC, what does that offer you all? A lot of teams aren't doing that.
Yeah, you know, I was telling somebody that in this day and age when everybody's on their cell phones and doing that, it kind of brings everybody together, and you can't help but talk to the person sitting next to you there. And I think that's a positive. You're staying in the same dorms, and I think it just develops a camaraderie, and I think that's a positive. Yeah.
I was wondering, what's the significance to the bracelet there?
You know what? They just gave them to me. The military. Yeah. So I threw them on. I didn't even notice, but it has my name on it. You know. Appreciate that.
Final day of camp here today. Maybe from day one to now, what's maybe this specific group? What's the biggest area of growth, and how they kind of gel that as a team?
Yeah. I think you've been able to see the growth. We've added a ton into the last few days and up here, and the guys have digested it, been able to spit it back, retain it. That's a positive. And then maybe most of all is getting yourself into football shape and kind of ramping up to your first game against the Ravens. So we still got a couple weeks ahead of us here before all of that takes place, but we'll keep working at it. So we're not ready yet, and but we'll keep working and get ourselves sharpened up a little bit to play. But I appreciated the attitude the guys had. We caught a break with the weather. I mean, I think this is the first year that we didn't have a rain out where we had to go inside.
I think
I mean, you've been able to see the growth. We've added a ton into the last few days and up here, and the guys have digested. He's actually feeling better, a little bit better last night, which is good. But we'll keep working
keep an eye on him, and
he's in good. Still got a couple weeks ahead of us here before all of that takes place.
All right, good.
We'll keep working at it.